Good morning and welcome, everybody. Sunday morning, and this is the Fisherman Ministry, South Carolina. Thank you for joining us.
All right, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing this morning?
Hot.
It is hot. I mean, it was hot when I just got up this morning. I had a praise the Lord. I had an excellent family day yesterday. I went to, with my family. The three girls. Well, two girls, one woman, I should say. Went to a private pond. Jumped off a really tall dock. It was nice. Something that I've been wanting to do. I've been wanting to have a family day with my family. And it was a praise the Lord. And I thank Him for it. And, I was pondering some things you were singing. We were singing this morning. And of course, I've shared with you many times about, man, this is a terrifying day for me. And I'm called up here to preach, and I'm going, oh, there's a better selection. I know there's a better selection. But praise God, I'm glad for the opportunity. And it's not about me, how good I am. It's about how good the Lord is. And I was thinking, we were singing that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. And I was pondering on that. We've talked about our life being hid in Christ. And that is just it. That is just it. I mean, there's much that I am guilty of. There is much that I can be accused of and be dead wrong accurately. Dead to rights. But am I going to take that and go, woe is me, I'm doomed? It's very easily to do that. It's a miserable existence. Or I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. I know your blood is sufficient for me. I know your sacrifice was perfect to cover all of my sin. And I know I'm a worm. But because of God's grace, I can come up here and stand in the Lord and stand in Christ and stand in Him where my life is hid. And I know we've had some really good messages on Thursday. Some pretty scary messages. I know for me, it was refreshing and scared me at the same time. It was refreshing because it did scare me. I don't want to talk about in Hebrews where it even seemed to come short of that promise and how the children of Israel still, after the testimony of the Lord in their lives, after being delivered from Egypt, after having the mountain pour out flowing water, having bread from heaven fall down that they can eat from, still came short of that promise. We all have testimonies of what the Lord has done in our lives. Amen? Amen. But yet, where do we stand? In unbelief or belief? Are we going to yet choose to trust God, or are we not? I've been confronted with this past week. I've been confronted with it probably the week before. And I was probably confronted with it the week before that. But praise God. Amen. And it boils down to, folks, are we going to trust the Lord or are we not? Are we going to trust that grace is sufficient for us? We sing that song. But I challenge to examine yourself to see if you really do. Your actions will show it. They will. And you know, that's why it scares me so bad. Because I do look at that self-examination and I go, that's unbelief. That's unbelief. That's unbelief. But that's okay if you have to do it 200 times, 300 times, 500 times, 1,000 times a day. Nope, I'm going to choose to trust you, Lord. Sorry, I was losing it and I was in unbelief, but I'm going to put a stop to that. I'm going to trust you. No, I've had my failings, beyond failings, stuff I don't like to admit, but they're there. Y'all seen them. But you know, I can still trust the Lord. I can still serve the Lord. I still have that opportunity. I still have that choice ever laid before me. I do, and I don't want to miss that. Because the Lord is good. There's no other person I would want to trust than Jesus Christ. He wants nothing but good for me. You look at David. Robin brought something up to me. I was talking with her the other morning. I do that a lot more now. I call the ministers around me a lot more than I've ever did. Praise God. But I was talking with Robin, notwithstanding David. Let's take King David. And I've heard this many said out there that, oh man, David was bad. And I think to myself, David's somebody I inspire to be like. Yeah, he had Uriah killed. Yeah, he took his wife. Yeah, he was guilty of blood guiltiness. But yet David still trusted the Lord and he believed God. And you know what? He was still the king of Israel after that. I mean, he probably didn't know it at the time, but the Lord had grace on David. And David turned and still yet served the people and still yet performed what he was called to do. And yet we are no different, and we still yet have that opportunity, every single one of us. To go to the Lord and choose to trust Him. And repent. Truly repent. There's one thing to do. Oh man, repenting. Something was clarified with me. Now, repenting is actually a changing of mind. That's what repent means. So yet, when we repent, do we still go about, do we just say it with our mouths and still go about our business, or do we yet choose to trust the Lord and to say, Lord, be my Lord, what would you have me do? I'm guilty. But yet your grace is sufficient for me. And change that mindset of unbelief. And put away those things that are shown before you that keeps you from the Lord. Now I want to go to Philippians 3. Now I'm not going to sit here and say I know this fully, this scripture fully. But there are some good points that I can hit on. It says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Praise God. I don't want confidence in this flesh. I know the end of this flesh, and it is death. But yet, notwithstanding how ugly my flesh is, I can still have confidence. Throwing off that confidence, absolutely throwing off that confidence in the flesh, and putting it towards the Lord. Now let's go down a little further and see what Paul says about what he does. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the Lord, trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, though I counted loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, I'm no Paul. I don't know if I was circumcised the eighth day. Not important. Concerning zeal, not much. All these things I have no comparison to in the flesh. But there is one thing. He counts all things. What does it say right here? I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, there are some things that we all hold esteem in our minds. I mean, there's some things, there's those idols. There's those things that we hold before Christ, do we not? We were talking about diligence. Last Sunday, we were talking about diligence. And how Jacob wrestled with angel, with that angel, Jesus, which was Jesus, until his wet thigh came out of socket, till he received that blessing. That was the diligence of Jacob. And I was reading more about Jacob and how he served Laban for 7 years to have, what was it, Rachel? Rachel, okay. To have Rachel, but yet got Leah. But guess what? Laban said, serve me another 7 years. And yet he served him another 7 years. Diligence. So we have yet the example of Jacob and the diligence he had with him and wrestled with the angel. We also have the example of his diligence to get the blessing from Laban too. And it's that diligence of fighting that good fight of faith that we are all called to do. That is laying aside that unbelief. Those things that are not of God that keeps you away from God. Those idols, those things that we hold more esteem than Jesus Christ, that become before Him. We lay those down and we hang on to what the Scripture says. What does it talk about? To lean not on thy own understanding. What is this carnal mind? It's enemy of God. So we are to fight to believe with our soul, the Word of God, and to do it, and lay aside our own intellect, our own understanding, our own justification that we think we have so much, that we think we're justified in so much, and yet we're not. And if you want that grace held back from you, then you'll justify yourself. But if you want that grace upon you, you come before the Lord honestly and actually repent and change your mind. You know, I had a situation with Paul not so long. Paul was talking to me. It was one day, it was Tuesday, and I was explaining some things to him, and it was just that. Well, it's either you trust the Lord or you don't. And it was one of those things. I just don't think I don't think he knows what I'm talking about. I don't think he understands. I don't think he knows where I'm coming from. I don't even know where he's getting it. We're on two different subjects, apparently. Does that sound like justification to you guys? I know in me it was. The next I walked out of that kind of like, attitudinal. Wish you see understood what I was saying. I don't think he gets what I'm saying. But I woke up the next day and I said, well, am I going to trust the Lord or am I not? I had a joyous day in the Lord. A joyous day in the Lord. It was a praise God. It's quite funny. But that's an example, folks, of not leaning unto my own understanding. Because my own understanding was telling me, he didn't know what I was talking about. And I had to cast that off. Let's say he didn't know what I was talking about. But the advice of trust the Lord. Are you going to trust the Lord or not? Was yet correct. Regardless if he understood me or not. But he was dead right. Exactly what I needed to hear. And Paul's probably going, I didn't know. The Lord's good. I didn't realize I was ministering to Philip. That might be Paul's position. And he's shaking and said, yes, because I know, because I've been there. People said, Phil, you really told me exactly what I needed to hear. What are you talking about? But that's how good the Lord is. See, in this fellowship we have ever before us the counsel of the Lord. Do we not? If we would but just lean not on thy own understanding and ask the Lord to open up your eyes to the things and be honest with them. You know, that part of that prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Or just simply say, Lord, show me what's keeping me from you. I don't want it anymore. I want to grow in you. Show me. And mean it. And choose to believe that prayer. And choose to believe that He will give you that answer. See, because that's about loving God. That's all towards about being about His business. And showing you where you can be closer with Him and know Him. Look, His ways aren't mysterious, folks. I mean, He laid down His life so that you may know Him. The opposite of knowing is depart from me. I never knew you. So that's not a good option. And He's a loving Father. Yet we have many fathers, but they're imperfect. He is perfect. And He wants you to know Him. It's the truth of the matter is that we don't really give that much of a crap to know Him. That's the truth. That's the truth of it. And I'm in the same boat, guys. Just as guilty as you are. This message coming out of my mouth is just as for you as it is for me, or just as me as it is for you. Praise God for it. Hallelujah. But let's read on about what Paul does. When Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He has that honor. And we need to be diligent to be in Christ. He is the righteousness. And we dwell in there by faith. Not by works. Not by our own righteousness. By faith. Which is a simple choosing of believing Him. And if we believe Him, He will do what He says. You know, obedience and faith are very close. I mean, you take a look at the scriptures. The devils believe and tremble. So there's people that know, yeah, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Or for the sins of the whole world. But they don't yet believe Him enough to do what He says. They might pronounce it with their mouth, but they don't believe it with the heart. Or they would be doing it. Or believe it or don't care, and they just choose to be about their own business. And they prefer darkness over the light. But I want to be in that scripture in James where, and I'm going to mess this up. I already feel it coming on. That scripture where it talks about, I show you my works by my faith. He believed God, and the proof is in the pudding. And examples we have with all the apostles. But I'm going to continue on here. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformable unto his death. Fellowship of his sufferings. Whew. I want to know the Lord. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I have an enormous list of stuff that can count against me. And the things that I have done in the past, unimaginable. And yet I can sit back and let them slay me and let that happen and never get off a go and do my best not to even wake up in the morning. Or I can choose to believe God and his grace is sufficient for me, and to say, Lord, I'm a wretched man, but it ain't about this wretched man. You are good, and it's about you and your business and what you have done and what you have set free, that I may join you in that freedom and be a part of your ministry and be part of the work that you have, a part of your plan that you have. And that's a graceful thing. And that's forgetting those things behind. That's not letting those things that you have done prevent you from going out and moving forward in the Lord. We have it here. It is, his hand is outreached to you right now this day. Grab a hold of it. That grace is right there for you. And do not turn your hand away from it, or do not snub your nose at it. Because that is life eternal. So all those lists, that's how awesome it is. That's how Timothy could be strong in the grace of God. He died for the sins of the past, present, and future. So how could Timothy walk forward? He died for me this day. And I have nothing to fear except the Lord. Nothing to fear except the Lord. And notwithstanding of how hideous I am, the Lord's good. And I know that He can perform what He would want me to do in me through this day. And that's putting your faith on Jesus Christ. And having no confidence in this flesh. All those things leading up to this point, if you would yet get on your knees and repent and truly accept that forgiveness, you will be covered. And yet you are yet without excuse to go out and move forward in Him. Are you going to fail? Guaranteed. But through failings you learn, if what yet we learn, if we choose to. And we put more and more confidence in the Lord and less on ourselves. That is the process. That is being diligent to know Him. Notwithstanding, I know how screwed up I am. Don't let those things keep you down from moving forward in the Lord. His grace is ever before you, if you but will take it and walk in it. If you don't, it will be just like the children of Israel, where yet they had the testimony of the Lord moved in their lives, but yet walked in unbelief. And they went to hell. And I do not want any of us to have that happen to us. I don't want any of us to seem to come short of the promise of a God. It's an awesome thing that the Lord will even do business with us. So let's humble ourselves and let's take a hold of that forgiveness and let's move forward in Him. You have opportunity and you have ministers around you to help you with your struggles, to help you with your walk. We are very blessed here. And we have the opportunity. Let's take it this day.
You know, the important thing here is that when you're challenged to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, then it makes a difference whether you have a religion or you have a Lord. Because with religion, all it matters is what you look like when other people are looking at you. With faith, what matters is how is your relationship when nobody's watching you? And it is said, widely believed, and I'm not going to dispute it, that John is a book that reveals the divinity of Christ. And that may be true. But as I'm sitting there listening to it, I'm going, he's describing what a relationship looks like. He's trying to get these people to know Him, to develop a relationship, to be able to see the Father when He's operating and to understand divine intervention, to be partakers of divine nature. He's trying to establish a relationship with these people. And I'm probably going to wind up in Philippians 3 where Phil was, but I don't have much time here, so I will try to zip through John chapter 14. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Me. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto Him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And what's His answer to that question? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, you should have known My Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him, and have seen Him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. That'll satisfy us. That'll make us happy. What did He just tell him? Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me. He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do,
the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father, go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give to you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. Relationship he's talking about here. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. You get all the way down to 21, and when you've gotten his attention and he commits to you, then all of a sudden he manifests himself in you. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Again. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. If he isn't making his abode with you, if you're not abiding in him, you got nothing. If you're not walking with a relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Savior of the world, but especially of those who believe, as Paul would say, you got nothing. If you can't love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself, you can't keep his word. It's not about how you look when people are watching. It's about who you know when they're not. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth peace, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why is he sending a comforter? Because we're not going to be comfortable, and we're going to need refuge. This is the part of the relationship that shows he is committed to you. And I may have to refer back to this. Let's go to Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Nothing past, nothing present, nothing future, nothing that stands existent in front of me is any more important than the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I may know him. What did we just read in John 14? You have seen me, you have known the Father. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's not what you look like when people are watching, it's who you know when they're not. And you got to know that person you're working your salvation out with fear and trembling. Scared the crap out of me. That's the place, that's the stand in wisdom, to understand that the whole point of this is that you can know him and the power of his resurrection and being conformable to his death. He's taken me down in death, he's raising me up and hid me with God the Father. And that part, that passage, that those verses in Colossians say, Christ who is our life. We don't have any life other than him. I don't know, this stuff just jumps out at me, and there are people in this room that need to apprehend
this relationship. God doesn't just start showing himself, manifest himself in you, and then all of a sudden you get so impressed with him then you can accept him. That's not the way it works. We just went through the order of it. The first thing you have to do is to believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you're not diligently seeking him, why should he show himself to you? That's a position of faith. You lay back and expect that we're going to walk around and show him to you? Not the way that works. I can't walk your salvation out in fear and trembling. I have to walk my own out in fear and trembling. I suggest, if you don't know what fear and trembling is like, I pray to the Father you do, that you can walk out of this place and say, I know him and the power of his resurrection. Because all the rest, everything that's gone before, all that's ever been promised in the future is dung. You got to know him. You can't wrestle in fear and trembling your salvation with somebody that doesn't have it. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of the faith. He is the salvation. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Anyone comes any other way is a thief and a robber trying to get it some other way. You don't get it some other way. It's Jesus.